Our scripture today is the one I read earlier. It's Mark 15, 33 to 39. And what I want to focus on is where it says, at noon, darkness came over the whole land. You know, there's much darkness in our world, and this isn't meant to be one of those messages where it's a downer, but it's meant to help us to reflect. And all our solutions for getting rid of darkness, they come short. They never just seem to answer. And so what we needed was a light that could come into that darkness and fill it. And Jesus was that light. And though even though our world and our hearts at times can be filled with darkness, can be filled with death, we can have hope if we place our faith in the light of the world, who is Jesus, who defeated death by entering into darkness. When you came in tonight, it's dark, and that's purposeful. We don't really like darkness, do we? We tend to try to stay away from it, don't we? We always want to turn the lights on. I don't know about you, but as you get older, it's kind of hard to read in the dark. And when the lights aren't so bright, it's a little bit more difficult to read. It's harder to see. I think of when I was a child, how I was fearful of the dark. And I think of a story that my wife told me when she was a child, how she was hiding under the bed of her cousin. And when her cousin came and sat down, she grabbed her feet from underneath the bed. And as her cousin jumped up, hit the ground, and started crawling towards the door for her dear life, screaming, there was fear. And we're always afraid of something. We always think there's something. When it's really dark and you're walking down a back alley, there's fear. And so we struggle with darkness. We don't like it. And when we bring a light in and it shines and it fills that room, man, it makes a big difference. And so Good Friday is supposed to be a remembrance. It's a little bit darker. It's a little more somber type day. And it's a day that we remember the suffering that Jesus went through. And so it's Good Friday, but we need to remember that we're not to rush quickly through this because of the bright lights of Easter. Man, Easter's going to be such a celebration, but we want to slow it down just a little bit, not to rush into that, because we want to linger at the cross. We want to stay at the cross before we move to that empty tomb, because without that sacrifice, man, the most important thing at the end of all this is that he defeated death and rose from the grave. But put yourself in the shoes of the people at that time as they thought he was gone for good. And so as I look at it, and if you've lost a loved one, you know, it's not a good feeling. And so we sit in this darkness just briefly. The main theme of this particular scripture is darkness. It's one of them. And it has a strong correlation with death. And that's actually pretty fitting, considering how he did die. And as I've mentioned in other messages, that society tries to find answers to defeat death. We always try to deal with it, our modern society. And we've talked about in the past where there's two solutions, quote unquote, where the secular solution is we pretend that death isn't real and we try to hide it and we ignore it. The religious answer is where, well, we've turned it into a welcome friend, and it's not. And it's an attempt to try and tame death because we want to welcome it, but no. And neither of these is sufficient, nor are they biblical. And we know, if you just watch the news for a couple of seconds, you know that our world is going through all sorts of stuff. You know that sin, wrongdoings, what we do to other people is still rampant in the world. Evil is still there. And sometimes in our busyness, we tend to forget that that's happening. I mean, nowadays we're bombarded with so much news, it's difficult. But every once in a while, we remember how dark the earth can be, how it can be here. And I think of 9/11, I think of school shootings. I think there's so many of these negative events that have happened in our world. But we also read in our scripture tonight that the darkness overcame that whole land. He sent darkness. And all throughout the Old Testament, darkness was meant as judgment on evil and sin in the world. And we read that darkness came over the whole land, and we'll never understand the light of Easter. We'll never understand that until we come to terms with the darkness of Good Friday. And just like the passing of a loved one, we don't stay there. It's not healthy to stay there for good, but it is healthy to remember. It is healthy to look back. And I have to say that in this scripture, darkness is not the only theme. And that's a good thing. And I'm very happy for that, because we would be stuck there. And I don't want to be stuck there. There is another one. And it's light. It's light. In this darkness, even though we couldn't really see it, in this death, there was a light. Isaiah 53:2 says, "He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him." And yet, in this darkness hangs the light of the world. Jesus said so himself, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And so you see, scripture is painting us this beautiful picture of what God is doing when it uses terms like darkness and light. And John says that the Word, Jesus, is the light of the world, and that he shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome him. We also read in 1 John chapter 1, 5, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. But on Good Friday, guess what? Darkness fell over the whole land. And he had to be in that darkness in order to defeat it. And if we flip over to Revelations, if we move to the back of our Bible, we read that when the kingdom of God is fully come, the great city of God will not need sun. It will not need the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. Why is the Lamb the lamp? Because Jesus is the light of the world. He is the Lamb, the final Lamb that was sacrificed on the cross, who has come to conquer our greatest enemy, not our welcome friend, death. But he doesn't do it with weakness. He doesn't do it with darkness. He does it with the very things we fear most. He does it with weakness. He does it with blood. He does it with suffering. And he does it with death itself to overcome it. Do you see a theme here all throughout Scripture? This isn't a war. This is Jesus giving himself over. And so the light of the Word, the light of the world, carried this bright light down into the deepest, darkest depths of death itself. And it was his bright light that he carried down into that darkness and exposed the powers of death for what they were. Weak, because he is more powerful. He is the great conqueror. And guess what? It doesn't stop there, because this is the great news. Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. We don't have to stay there, because he conquered death. So what do we do with this? What do we do with this scripture? Well, there are many things we can take, but the one thing that is sticking out for me today is the willingness for Jesus to endure the cross for the sake of others. Jesus, his life was not taken from him. He gave it up. He gave it up. He had the power. He offered it up. It was this self-sacrificing attitude that is a standard for Christians today, and it was a standard for Christians in the New Testament. It hasn't changed. This has not changed. In the Bible, what Jesus did on the cross becomes our standard for family, for ethics, for handling conflict within family. That's always fun. Responding to opposition to those that are against us, interpreting our own hardships that we go through. These are just a few things that I can come up with off the top of my head, but he is the standard, self-sacrificing. And so my question for you today is, how are you going to be self-sacrificing in your everyday life just like Jesus? How are you going to do it? In our world, I can go out and buy any book that tells me how I'm number one, and it's all about me. That is contrary to what Jesus is saying. And so when we look at the scriptures, when we look from the Old Testament all the way through the New, it's all about sacrifice. Trying to get to know God. And when Jesus comes in, man, it's the sacrifice that he makes for us. So if he's done it, and we're supposed to be disciples of Jesus, meaning we learn his teaching and sit at his feet, if he's self-sacrificing and loving and caring and kind, then guess what we are to be? Self-sacrificing, loving, caring, and kind. Showing grace to those that maybe by our standard don't deserve it, but we give it anyways. We give it anyways. And so what are you going to do? If this is the standard, what are you going to do? I'm going to ask the servers if they would come forward. And this pulls us right in to what Jesus did. We're going to serve up the emblems that represent that. But the question still stands, what are you going to do? And that question only you can answer, and maybe Jesus is speaking to you, talking to you. I don't know what is being going through your mind right now, but maybe you start with not always being right. Maybe you start when you're in the room with family, with friends, you're not always right. Or maybe you allow others to receive credit when maybe they didn't do as much as they think they did. Maybe you start showing grace in situations where you could easily bring judgment. Easily. But we show grace. Why? Because Jesus Christ did it for us. Jesus Christ showed us that grace. And so I ask you today, what are you going to do with this? And that's up to you. We're going to go to the Lord's table. And right now, we're going to hand out the emblems. I want you to think about that. But what a great opportunity for us to do communion and remember the greatest self-sacrificing person in human history ever. So I want you to analyze your own heart. I want you to think how you can be that type of person. What does that look like to you in your life? How do you feel about that?